So tonight I wanted to talk a little bit about, loving kindness meditation. Sometimes I'm talking about, and Nikki is, some of the benefits and why we might do loving kindness meditation. And today I'd like to point to just this idea of part of loving kindness meditation, and especially often the way that I teach it, I tend to emphasize the phrases. Not everybody does, but I tend to emphasize the phrases and to do it with a certain, I want to use this word, periodicity, or a certain rhythm. And that's how I practice, because I'm using it as kind of way where it just allows the mind to settle. There's something about rhythms that allows the mind and the body to kind of settle. You know, we walk, we rock in cradles and swings. I'm one of those people. If there's ever like a rocking chair in the room, I'm the one that's sitting in the rocking chair going back and forth. So there's just something kind of soothing about that. And so it's kind of my style of doing metta practice, as I find it as a support to kind of like settle both the body and the mind. And loving kindness practice is a way in which we can do this, which can be settling the heart, body, and mind. So even if we didn't really connect with loving kindness practice, and I would say it has value, even if at that moment we felt like nothing in particular happened, it still has particular value. But I also want to highlight just the value of getting quiet. Just the value of getting settled, like how supportive that can be. And not just for us, right? But for those around us. And here is this a quote by Marion Wright Edelman. She was the founder, and until just recently, the president of the Children's Defense Fund. And she writes, "Learn to be quiet enough to hear the sound of the genuine within yourself so that you can hear it in other people. Learn to be quiet enough to hear the sound of the genuine within yourself so that you can hear it in other people." You know, kind of get in touch with what's true, what's real. It's resonant. Otherwise, we might be just on the surface with ourselves and with others. And that's perfectly appropriate for some relationships, some settings, the people that we see on a regular basis. "Hi, how are you? Fine. How are you? Fine." And maybe that's all that the person at the security office, at security desk at the office, or I don't know, I'm just making this up. But there's also real value in just having something, you know, going underneath that, going underneath just the surface. But sometimes we have to be quiet to get in touch with the authentic, the real, what's really going on, to hear the sound of the genuine so that we can hear it in other people, so that we can resonate with other people. So maybe with that, we'll spend a little time getting quiet. So let's take a meditation posture, one that feels supportive and, I want to say, relaxing. A posture that you won't be in contention with, that you won't be fighting against or, you know, protesting against in some way, so that there can be some comfort. And just feeling into the body. and allowing whatever is there to be there as best we can. Feeling supported, whatever you're sitting on, perhaps your back is supported by a chair, perhaps not. Feeling whatever the feet are connected to, a place where we can feel grounded. It's with the feet. And feeling the chair or cushion, the pressure against the legs and the buttocks sitting. And the back. And the chest, the belly, the front of the torso. Just bringing our awareness to these different areas of the body. And the shoulders, and the right arm, and the right hand. And the left arm. And the left hand. And feeling that the hands are touching. Noticing the warmth or coolness, maybe the soft or roughness. Bring an awareness to the neck. Place we often hold tension. And the face around the jaw, around the eyes, maybe around the crown of the head. then just very simply bringing our awareness to the sensations of breathing. Just noticing the in-breaths and out-breaths. And the transitions. Nothing in particular needs to be happening. We're just allowing the mind and the body to settle, making space for some quieting, creating the conditions in which quieting might happen. And then to begin our loving kindness practice, is there a way in which you could do this practice, loving kindness practice, that is supportive for settling, for quieting, not trying to get anywhere or attain anything, but just using it as a way to maybe open, soften, arrive, whichever word feels like the right word for you to feel maybe connected to this experience here, this moment, and to feel some ease. The purpose of meditation is not only to feel ease, but it can be a support, so it's worthwhile cultivating. Having ease is a support for our life as well as for our meditation. So being completely unambitious, just bringing to mind a lovable being, kittens, puppies, babies, someone who is really dear to you and you have an uncomplicated relationship with them. connecting with this lovable being. Maybe there's an image that arises. And can we use this image in a way that is without straining and also without being cavalier? And then to support our intention of cultivating loving kindness, our intention of finding some ease and getting quiet, you can say these phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. is it like to do loving kindness practice without ambition? And yet, with application, intention. And then we can expand our loving kindness to include ourselves. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Doing loving kindness for ourselves is one way in which we might quiet the inner critic who sometimes barks loudly in our ears. Learn to be quiet enough to hear the sound of the genuine within yourself so that you can hear it in other people. We don't do this practice just for ourselves. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. And then to expand our loving kindness even more for a neutral person, somebody that you don't know. Might be somebody on this Zoom call. Maybe somebody you see in the neighborhood or when you're running errands. Takes a little bit more effort, but can you bring this person to mind? May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. If it feels like loving kindness for a neutral person is too much of a strain right now, when we're trying to emphasize settling and being quiet, then just stay with the lovable being and or loving kindness for yourself. Sometimes, this is true with a lot of meditation, spending time at some of the earlier stages and really becoming familiar with those and really soaking in it creates a great foundation. That turns out to be supportive in ways that we don't often appreciate or realize. And then, what is it like to do loving kindness for all beings? Just to imagine loving kindness radiating out in all directions. In front and back, to the sides, above, below, all directions. Sending goodwill in a relaxed, easy manner. Maybe use phrases, maybe not. May all beings be safe. May all beings be happy. May all beings be healthy. And may all beings live with ease. And then to end this meditation, feel your feet on the ground and feel the pressure of the chair or cushion against your body. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. So sometimes loving kindness practice is, I would say, classically in the earliest Buddhist literature, it's a concentration practice more than it's a way in which the mind and the body can settle. And that's part of the phrases is kind of there's a way in which it gives the mind something to do. So it's kind of like how the breath sometimes has a rhythm to it in the same way as the phrases. But this idea of getting quiet enough to hear the sound of the genuine within yourself, like what sound, quote unquote, does the genuine make? What does it feel like? How do you know? And so that you can hear it in other people, so that we can support other people and see them, right, for what's really happening with them. Because often we all have this experience. Often what's being, like people might be saying something, but their body language is saying something else. And so just to be aware of that, like, okay, they're saying they're fine, but maybe their body language isn't doesn't mean you have to bring it up right then and say, I think that you're not really fine, but just to know, be tuned in to what's actually happening. So now I'd like to put you into some breakout rooms so you can talk about this idea of getting quiet so you can hear the genuine inside, and this idea of that loving kindness practice, just like other meditation practices, part of what it does is quiet the heart and the mind. And maybe we might say loving kindness softens the mind in addition. So when you're in groups, there's no need to say everything about this topic that you know, but maybe just make one point, and then it can go to the next person, and they can make one point, and go to the next person, and they can make one point. And then it goes back around again. So you have a few opportunities for this to go around. There'll be three or four of you in a room. And if you're not sure, here we go. If you're not sure who to go first, let's go by the day of the month on which you were born. So if you were born on the first of the month, you'll go first. Okay, so let's see here. And then we'll meet for about 14 minutes. Okay, here we go. Okay, so welcome back, everybody. Does somebody have some comments or questions? How was that to be in a small group to talk about these ideas? Yes, Abraham.
We didn't know in our group whether the word in that poem was gentling or genuine. Either way, either interpretation works, but...
I love it. That is so great, right? Just to think, I'm not even sure what this poem's about. That's fantastic. Genuine.
Genuine.
Yeah. Genuine.
And seeing the genuine in the other. Thank you. Solved a great mystery.
But you know what? This could be such a great practice. What words could we insert there? You know, like, let's be quiet so we can hear the sound of blank. So that you can hear it in other people. Like, what would it be? What, I don't know. That's great, actually. It could be so many different things.
Compassion, maybe?
Compassion. Very nice, Maureen Christine. What else might it be? Truth. Truth. Nice.
Sorry.
Abraham, what have you unleashed?
How about Buddha nature?
There you go, Buddha nature. In this tradition, we don't talk so much about Buddha nature, but maybe just the idea that people have beauty within them. Of course they do. Of course they do.
That's what I was going to say, is goodness.
Goodness, nice.
I found that substitution of that word, it makes me feel really even close to the other person. Each of these substituted words as an element of character of another person.
Nice.
Make us feel really close.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Diana.
And something that I've been thinking about lately is trying to see the child in people that I meet, because that just... physically works for me, yeah.
Like the child in terms of someone who has some innocence, or
the vulnerability of the child and the innocence of the child, especially with people who come across who, you know, have edges, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, they were once children, just like all of us. Yeah.
I have a question. Why is Buddha nature not part of this tradition so much?
Let's see. The 32nd answer to that is Buddha nature is something that's later Buddhism talks about. And early Buddhism, which is the tradition that I'm teaching in, has a real emphasis on impermanence to see the arising and passing of things. This is when you see that things are always changing, then of course you let go of them because it doesn't make sense to hold on. And that letting go is where freedom is, when we let go of, there's so many ways to let go. So with this emphasis on impermanence and changing, this Buddha nature doesn't really fit in that paradigm because that's more of it has a sense of an eternal.
Yeah, fix.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. So we're at the top of the hour. And what a delight it was. This was kind of fun to replace words and poems. Maybe I'll try this again where we'll have some poems and I'll mispronounce them or I'll say them in some ambiguous way. And you guys can just find your way with it, see what happens.
Like Mad Libs. You could just say blank. And fill in the blank.
I have a confession because I have such noise where I couldn't really tell. So the word I used was judgment. Judgment. If you go that way, you're quiet enough to hear the judgment in yourself, then you can really hear it in others too, which is very profound in seeing others. Never mind, I digress. But
right, Mad Libs. I used to love to do those when I was a kid. So maybe we could do some Mad Lib happy hour. Nice. Okay, what a delight it is to practice with you all. So maybe we can unmute and say goodbye. So bye.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Nice to be here again. Thank you.
Thank you, Diana.
Thank you, Diana.
Thank you, Diana.
Thank you, Diana.
Bye-bye.
Bye.